You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
I was on the other side of the studio, and Jimmy pointed at me with that finger and said, "Get back to your post. We're starting the show."
He's already stressed out that I come last minute.
So. I know. That's Walter Assey from Renovco. I'm Ken Connors. It's the Home Improvement Show. It's 9:06 on this beautiful Saturday morning. It must have been a lovely drive-in.
It was, except for the downtown entrance, which was closed.
The Ville Marie's closed, eh?
Nice little detour in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to stress Jimmy out a little bit more. I came even later today.
This weekend, all the entrances to the Ville Marie eastbound are closed, off limits because of the work they're doing there. So you have to find your way around the Turcot. And
I should listen to traffic more often on CJV.
If you would just listen. Let's get right to work, Walter. We're going to start with Barbara in Vaudreuil. She's still there. Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
You want to talk about the cement entrance side of the house, you said it needs replacing?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Well, you're on with Walter. Go ahead. He's all yours.
Hello, Walter.
Hello.
Is it a good time to do this work?
It's funny. We're just talking.
We're just talking about the fall weather. Yeah.
That's right. So, I don't blame you for asking this question because it's September has been, in my opinion, a bit colder than usual.
Mm-hmm.
We still do work, cement work, up to somewhere in November, really. Okay. You just have to look at the meteo and you know, try to get days where when we're pouring, we're not getting frost.
Okay. How many days do you need to set aside?
How many days would that take?
Well, I mean, if I can get a couple of days of good weather, we're good. Okay, so the pour, if it's done in the morning, by the next day, if we have good weather in a couple of days in a row, we're good. Having said that, I mean, sometimes, you know, cement is poured even in winters in certain cases, but they add, you know, additives and special kind of cement and so on and so forth, which we don't want to do in your case because, number one, I don't believe in it. And number two, it's a walkway, so you don't want, you know, the ground to be frozen and so on and so forth. So yes, it is a good time. You have up until end of October, even, you know, flirting with November will be fine.
Okay.
The key is to get 2 good days, I guess.
Yeah, right? Try to get a couple of good days and, you know, pour it all at once. I mean, don't let, I know sometimes if it's a small walkway, some contractors like to do it manually and so on and so forth. Try to get a cement truck so you can get it all done uniform at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's about 4 feet by about 10 feet.
Yeah. You know what? I'll pay the extra few hundred bucks. I'll get a cement truck and I'll pour it all consistent, all at once.
Okay.
Because I find when they do it manually, it goes by section. And certain things dry before others. And, you know, you don't have the same necessary consistency of the cement. And you might run into problems. Mm. So either you pay for it now or you pay for it later.
Oh, this is interesting. Can I ask you one other thing? What about, someone said you should put styrofoam under the cement when you're replacing it.
That's mainly for, I mean, it doesn't hurt. It's actually a good practice.
Yeah.
We do that often in structural slabs, though, meaning when you're building a slab that you want to put some type of structure on top and you don't want it to move and heave and you know, and crack and what have you, you do put insulation. In a walkway, it might not be needed, but it does not hurt, and it's not a bad practice either.
So rocks, then the styrofoam, eh?
Compact well, and then, and then you do your pour.
Okay.
Now, if you want it to be a bit more strong, you can always add fiberglass to the cement. The quality of cement is also important. Like, that's what maybe most people don't know, is that there's different grades of cement.
So
you know, when you order or when you're negotiating with your contractor, I like to start at 35. So that's where my, you know, the quality of cement starts for me.
35, you said?
That's right. So when you when you're speaking with him, tell him, please, I want a minimum of 35 on my cement. And that I will set a higher standard on your cement mix.
Oh, excellent. I didn't know that.
Yes, ma'am.
So then he'll know at least that I know.
That's why you have
something
to listen to the show every Saturday, because there's a lot of things you learn.
And no invoice either. It's free.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. It's true.
Well, Barbara, good luck with that project.
Yes, and thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day. Okay. That's Barbara out in Vaudreuil. That frees up a line at 514-790-0800. Let's go to Martin or Martin in Pierrefonds. Martin, is that you?
Yes, sir, it is. Thank you for taking my call.
Sliding door needs fixing. Where is that sliding door?
It's a patio door, and it's made by Arcon, or I don't know if that's just the brand name or if that's what the composition of the door is. It's a big sliding door. I went on YouTube, and I tried to find out how to adjust sliding doors to make them slide easier, and they showed where you have these little spots in the bottom of the door where you could put a screwdriver in and adjust the rollers, but this door does not have these spots. Mm-hmm. It just seems that it's just the frame against whatever, the rail against whatever it's riding on. And it's very hard. It's actually for my aunt. She's 89 years old. She has a hard time sliding the door open, and it does slide, but it takes an effort. And I was wondering if there's any way of making it glide a lot easier.
Yeah. So Arcon is a manufacturer of the patio door. What you want to do is you want to take off the patio door from its track.
Okay.
At the bottom of the patio door, you're going to have the rollers. And that's where mostly you get into problems. With time, you have the dust, you have the, salt and all these things that gunk up on those rollers.
Yeah.
So what you want to do, you want to clean that up. You want to clean the track up very well, and you want to apply WD-40 on that particular spot, and you should be fine.
Oh, I've already done that, but I haven't cleaned it, though. I'm just wondering. Well, I didn't remove the door at all. But
yeah, no, you have to remove. I don't know how you do it, honestly, because where you really run into problem is where the roller is really meeting the track. So if you haven't done that, I don't think you're going to go very far. So try to remove it, pop it out from the track, get it nicely clean, greased up, and then put it back on.
Okay, so just to remove the door, I mean, I'm just wondering, is it like a window? You go push up and move it out of the track?
That is correct. That's correct. Okay. Exactly the same. You know, and that's why, Ken, I like hydraulic type windows. They're more expensive, but they actually lift and slide, and that's, you know, it just prevents all this maintenance and this mess in this case.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a two-man job just to lift that door off the rail.
Depends how big it is and how strong you are.
Is it just the glass door, or is there a sliding door, too? The screen door, too?
No, just the two sliding doors.
Okay, all right. Well, good luck, Martin.
Okay, one quick question, guys. I'm just curious. Did Yannick retire from your show?
Yeah, Yannick's retired. What year was it? Yeah, so I guess at the end of this past, the end of 21, he retired. He's fine.
Okay, Walter, you're doing a bang-up job filling his shoes.
Thanks. Really, really appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, Martin. 914, can I throw a question at you from the text line?
Of course.
We have some people lined up ready to go, but it's no point bringing them in here. Guys, question, I have a semi-detached. My neighbor did a kitchen reno, and now I can hear him next door. There's a cinder block wall between us. I think the walls were 5/8 gyprock, and he replaced it with half. What can I do to muffle that noise?
Wow. Okay, so what you want to do if you have a good relationship with the neighbor, sometimes it's not the soundproofing, if there's any, is disturbed during a renovation, and if the contractor is not paying attention, stuff like this could happen. If they added more plugs, just make sure that things are sealed up properly.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the opening. Sometimes they could have made an opening in the cinder block itself to pass a wire or something. So there's not much you could do from your side that is not intrusive. You can always, drill holes and shoot some soundproofing inside the walls to dampen that noise. But that's intrusive and it's going to cost you money. Mm-hmm. There's no quick fixes. From the other side, see if any of the cracks are opened, or just ask the question, what happened differently that it created that noise to happen? And then see if from their side, if they could do anything to help.
Mark, hope that was some help. 514-800 is the text line. It's exactly 9:15. We're going to come right back with more of your phone calls.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
And the whatchamacallit's always at the bottom of the toolbox when you need it the most. 921, right back to the phone, 514-790-0800. I am going first to Ken in Laval. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi. Apartment door issue. What's going on there?
Well, not so much an issue, but a clarification. Walter, last week somebody called and you were talking about replacing interior doors with fireproof doors that need to be self-closing, etc.
Yeah.
So if I have an old apartment with those old, I'll say a hollow brown wooden doors, so they're not compliant based on what you said, but those are the ones that have always been there. Am I only in trouble if I change them now to something that's not compliant? If I leave them there, I'm okay?
Sorry, just to make sure that we're talking same about the same thing. When I said interior doors, I mean interior, exterior apartment doors, meaning to go out to the common hallways or to, you
correct.
Know, to the, yeah. I'm not talking about the bedroom doors.
The door to walk into the apartment.
Yeah. So, I mean, all of these doors cannot be hollow. That's for sure. For insurance purposes, if you ever have a fire or anything like that, the idea behind it is they want to keep the fire contained in that apartment and not to spread too fast in the building.
Understood.
So, yes, you might be grandfathered in with what you have. I don't know the particular laws about it.
Right.
But I know if you ever need to replace them, they absolutely need to be fire rated. Like,
understood.
Absolutely. There's no and ifs and buts about it.
And that, so I understand that part because I did replace one that was in the basement and it was fire rated. But it doesn't self-close. Is that also an issue?
Usually they really want it to self-close because let's say you do have a fire and you step out of the apartment. Most of the time in panic, people don't, think about closing and locking their door, right? They just, they just close and they just, open the door and run. It kind of becomes a counterintuitive in a way. You need to have it with the self-closing. That's the good practice.
Okay. And, I have changed insurance companies, and they've asked me, tons of questions, aluminum wiring, et cetera, but they never asked me that question.
You know what? The problem when you change insurance companies, a lot of the times now they're sending inspectors. And it might take a bit of time, but they do send inspectors. And then the inspector comes with a nice shopping list for you. And if you get an overzealous one, you will get that list. It's going to be longer than usual. So, you might be end up getting that inspection. A lot of the things that you could do, for your own betterment, do it beforehand rather than, because usually when they send you those letters, they give you 30 days and that's really not fun. Not fun. And, if you don't, they tell you we'll cancel you and you have to call and negotiate, and it puts you in a tight spot, and then you can't shop around, and then contractors aren't usually available for you that fast, and so you go into this big whirlwind of stuff that you really don't want to get into.
Gotcha. Well, unless my premiums really go up, I won't be shopping around there.
All right.
Thanks.
Ken, have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Bye.
We stay in Laval and bring in Gene. Gene, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Do you want to talk about a chimney issue? What's going on?
Well, it's not an issue. What I want to do is permanently, seal it because we're no longer. It's a chimney for a fireplace, which we haven't used in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to lock it up. I've Googled a few things. I hear, block, put insulation, pink insulation. Don't do that. So, what do you recommend? How should I seal it? I could just put a plate over it, I guess. But
you mean from the bottom or the top?
No, the top.
The top. Okay. So, it's two things. You want to do it from the bottom and the top, really. As far as the top, you want to cap it, but the capping does not necessarily seal it completely for the drafts and the cold weather and what have you, right? So you need to kind of have it sealed from the top just to kind of cap it completely. And that's easy. It's, you just put a cement cap and you kind of seal it. Obviously, you can always...
Does it have to be a cement cap? Could it be something else?
No, it can be metal, for sure. It could be metal. Okay. It could be what I know about are mostly the metal caps and the cement caps or even copper caps. But I've never seen anything else. So it doesn't have to be cement. Cement usually is because they pour it in place and most of these things are not standard size. So instead of ordering a cap that is not to size, your bricklayer or cement guy you know, kind of pour it in place and stick it up there. That's pretty much why cement is more commonly used than any other material. You could even have it done in stone if you want it to be nice and what have you. Having said that,
there's already a cap on it, right? It was a functioning chimney before.
Correct.
I just want to seal that hole.
Well, what you want to do is you want to take out the liner, okay, that's sticking out because you don't need it anymore.
Right.
And then you want to kind of cap it completely so you don't have to maintain it and have all kind of issues. And having that, bringing in downdraft and so on and so forth. So that's what you really want to do. Mm-hmm. What you want to also do is to insulate the bottom, okay, and cap it from the top. So like what you're doing technically is condoning it from the top and the bottom. From the bottom, there's many different gadgets. You could buy something called the balloon, which kind of blows up and you put it
in
there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that. I mean, is that within the fireplace or is
yes.
it above the damper? It's below the damper?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's exactly where it's made that you can install it from the bottom, from your home. So you just stick it in there and it blows up and that kind of stops anything that communicates like your downdraft and so on and so forth. Because... I mean, a chimney, if not properly used, it is really a source where you lose a lot of heat, right?
Right.
So,
and noise, right?
And noise and everything else. That's correct. So, I mean, that's the best practice. If you want to do it from the top and the bottom, and then you can forget about it. Of course, there's always, demolishing the whole tower and then, demolishing the actual chimney box, and then you can gain more space. But that's a lot more intrusive and a lot more expensive.
My fireplace is flush to the wall, so it's all.
Oh, that's
the exterior,
awesome!
Yeah, it's on the exterior wall. So
yeah, so don't even bother with that. Just
and where can I buy all this stuff? I mean, I saw the balloons, but they're all like pretty much online and.
Well, online honestly is really your best fastest bet. For some reason, it hasn't made it so much in the hardware stores yet. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But online really is where you want to go if you're going to get the balloon. If you're going to get the insulation and what have you, all of these gadgets that you could buy from any hardware store, and you could do it yourself. But the balloon itself, I've never seen it. Unless somebody can correct me, I've never seen it in a hardware store.
I mean, doesn't it cause condensation, though? I mean, it's plastic, isn't it?
Look, what you really want to do is you want to... plastic, I mean, there's not... Vapor barrier is made out of plastic, right? So it doesn't really... Mm-hmm. It's made to cut the vapor and the cool weather and what have you. What I like about it is it actually expands. Now, I mean, you can put that and then add insulation and then add some type of cement board, so kind of to add, more layers of protection. But I wouldn't do that before I try it for one winter. So have it installed.
How about sticking pink insulation from the top?
I don't like fiberglass insulation personally. Yeah. It is a common practice and a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
But personally, because if it gets wet, the problem with pink insulation, it loses R value. So,
right.
I mean, and it's somewhere that you're not going to really have access to in the future. It's not
Another trick I read was take the pink insulation, stick it in a garbage bag, and then jam it through the hole, the chimney.
I mean, that's one way. Or you could urethane, or you could put styrofoam and then put, additional level of insulation, which you could put styrofoam. Urethane, there's many, many different products you could use that are waterproof, that does not create you that, potential of condensation in the future just because it loses our value.
Gene, we have to run because we're up against news. Is that okay?
Last.
Quick.
Which trade can help me with this?
That's a very good question. Honestly, any handyman, what you want on the top is a cement guy or a brick guy. That's for the top part. The bottom part, really any handy guy could do. It doesn't require so much skill. You just have someone with a brain and you you can supervise yourself. You just want it to look very well sealed before they close it off. So the bottom could be a carpenter. It could be really even the brick guy, the cement guy. You can tell him, can you do it at the same time? And if they're nice enough, they might just take it on.
Thanks, Gene. He left. It's 9:30. Let's head off to the newsroom, then we'll come back with more calls here on the CJAD 800 Home Improvement Show.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Number to call is 514-790-0800. Good morning. I'm Ken Connors, sitting alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Right back to the phone because I've got a bunch of people waiting to talk to you, Walter. Heidi, good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing?
You're good. You're out in DDO. What's going on with the walkway?
Well, a lady called this morning and it gave me an idea to call you too. I have a flagstone wall, 1972, put horizontal, no problem. But the walkway and where they replaced the plate in the front door, anything that little vertical thing, like 2 inches, the sand is coming through. It was replaced once, the walkway, and now some of the stones, especially one going down the steps, it's a bit loose. Do I fix it with just polymer sand, which vertical doesn't really do much, right? Somebody said there was a difference in cement. Better cement, stronger cement, weaker cement. Obviously, for the steps down, it should be strong cement.
Okay, so I'm just trying to follow you, because where you lost me is when you said polymer sand and then you said cement. When you say cement, is it what you're putting underneath in order to adhere the step on the cement? So it's stone step.
Okay, I was wrong. The two different things is somebody says just put polymer sand on the top. Okay.
Yeah, the polymer sand will not do anything for
it. It doesn't do anything, but it's mostly this vertical thing going down the steps. And what's coming loose now is like little sand is coming through. Does the cement become like sand coming through?
Not necessarily. You could have just that the polymer cement is popping out because your step is loose. What you want to do is you want to take out the polymer sand, and it's, you know, if you're a bit handy, you could maybe do it yourself.
Right now, it's still the original flagstones on top of the base, and the base was very good. There are iron bars at the bottom end, and then they put the flagstones down, and it's cemented in, but it's becoming loose.
Okay, so just to kind of understand, when you said, because usually sometimes flagstone, you could use concrete between the joints or polymer sand, depending.
Right.
Now, in your case, you use polymer sand, which does not really adhere to the step. What you need is not concrete to adhere.
Oh, I would like something stronger.
That's
but
correct.
Not many people are touching flagstones, and I do like the natural look, and I like the natural thing.
Okay.
I mean,
so that step that is loose, what you want to do is you want to take it out. You want to clean underneath, make sure it's nicely cleaned. And what you want to use is PL glue. PL glue.
P like in Peter, L like in Louis.
Peter Lewis glue. That's right. So that's what you want to use.
That, and what is that, cement?
No, it's a glue. It's a glue specifically for pavers. Okay? That's what we usually use to glue in caps or you know, retaining walls and so on and so forth. That's the best type of material you could use. It's easy to apply. It comes in a tube. You just squirt it, and you don't need to put much.
Okay.
And then you put it in place, and you don't walk on that area for 24 hours, and you should be good to go.
Yes.
And then you can add your polymer sand after that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How's that, Heidi?
I'll try that. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you for calling the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800. We go to Park Extension for Helen. Hello, Helen.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
My problem is in the basement. It's a dirt basement, 100-year-old plus house. I have a concrete or cement pillar that's supporting the wooden beams of the floor above.
Yeah.
This pillar now is showing deterioration at the base. So there's a good chunk of it missing.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably due to moisture, age, I don't know. So I want to rebuild or brace it or increase the strength of this column now. Would it be wise to dig about a foot below the damaged area and build up a new concrete jacket? Or do you recommend that, or am I looking at installing smart jacks?
Okay. So what you need to determine first and foremost is why it's deteriorating. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the most important thing about this concrete pillar is to see the footing underneath it. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you know, especially in older structures, footings were not built in a lot of times adequately or deep enough. Or in certain cases, believe it or not, they were inexistent. We could not, you know, you just see a pillar there, and it's a lot of cases, a post, a metal post just sitting on a slab, which you know, it's, a slab is not structural, right, in a basement.
Right, right.
So you could do some digging to investigate how deep the footing is and the shape of the of that footing. If the footing is really deteriorated, then whatever you're going to do in repairs is kind of could be potentially a waste of money. We have to inspect it to see. Mm-hmm. And instead of bothering it and disturbing it, what we could do in this case is build something close to it so we don't really bother your structure too much, especially that you're telling me that you have dirt in your basement. So it's not like I could jack it up. I don't have anything so I can put posts to lift that weight, right?
Yes.
So what you could do is either you could go with, we choose an area close to it, and then we pour our slab, our footing, and then we pour our pillar. In certain cases, we could even go with metal posts if we find that it's adequate in this case. You know, that way we'll leave it alone and, you know, we don't disturb it too much. But I want to know why is your cement deteriorating, and you know, for you first and foremost, before you know, and something you could do before you call a professional in, dig, because they're gonna come and they're gonna tell you, well, I want to see the footing. So if you can go in, especially that there's nothing for you to break, it's just a question of having a metal shovel and just shoveling it away,
exactly.
Expose it as you know, as much as you can, and that way we can evaluate and then see what needs to be done. Okay. If the footing is in good shape, there's a good chance that we can just reinforce the pillar itself and just keep it in place.
Okay.
Unless the rebars are way too rusted, then that's another story.
Yes, but if I reinforce it with new concrete, would this new concrete create any chemical reaction or something that is further deteriorating the original pillar, and we don't see it, you know?
No.
No.
What you want to do is you want to chip away to see, usually you want to chip away all the loose cement to see how deep deterioration is. If it's through and through, there's no sense of you wasting money. Mm-hmm. Then you know, obviously pouring a new one would be more adequate and right. the proper thing to do. But it's just a question of, look, if your concrete pillar is, I don't know, 12 inches and there's about 3 inches or 2 inches missing, then you know, we can just put a concrete jacket and you're good.
Okay.
But again, my most important place to look at in this case would be the footing first. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Good luck with that.
It's
9:44. I'm going to sneak in one quick question here, Walter, from the text line before we go to break at 9:45. Good morning, guys. About 15 years ago, we had our bathtub reglazed. Now it's chipping a lot around the drain. The company no longer exists. Can I repair that myself with a product, or do I have to get another company and reglaze it all over again? That's from Michelle.
No, you don't need to get a company to reglaze it again. There are kits that you could buy online, and you could fix it yourself with no issues.
Very nice. All right.
It's very common around, you know, drain that these problems occur after a few years.
514-800 is the text line, by the way. It's 9:45 on the nose.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Right back to the phone. We're not going to waste any time here. It's Ken Connors along with Walter Assey from Inofco. Let's bring in, it's Suzanne in NDG. Suzanne, thank you for waiting.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
We've purchased a hot tub for outside, and the manufacturer recommends that if we have clay soil, to put a 6-inch thick slab with 12-inch foundation. Our backyard is clay, and we have trees. How would you prevent tree roots to potentially move the slab and also avoid a pool of water underneath the slab?
If I'm understanding correctly, they're asking you to pour a structural slab.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, where you have clay because of the movement, it's always a good idea, especially in cases where we have dry summers.
Mm-hmm.
You might run into problems by the clay contracting and what have you. So it's not a bad idea in a case. There are areas which are worse than others. I mean, we've done clay areas before, and we didn't necessarily need to go that far. But I'm sure that if the guy is recommending that, it's because they know something about your particular area a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
When you do your excavation, anything that is in the way, you want to make sure that, you know, first of all, if you have a tree that's extremely close to the structure, that already we're going to run into problems. Because when you're excavating, you're going to disturb the roots. When you disturb the roots, you kill the tree. So if there's any trees in the excavation process that are in the way, you know, go to the city and say, if they give you a permit to already install the slab and there's a tree in the way, automatically they will give you the permit to completely remove that tree. Okay?
Okay, but the trees are not ours. And we dug all the hole and there is not a lot of roots.
Okay,
like
so
nothing
then,
to structure affect the trees.
So then you should be fine. Then mm-hmm. you shouldn't have a problem because, you know, technically, if you don't see the trees when you're digging, the roots when you're digging, that means the roots are just simply not going that far. Of course, with roots, it depends on the type of trees because certain trees, they tend to spread wider roots than others. So if you don't run into roots, that's already a good sign. Depends how far the closest tree and how big it is from your structure. Now, if this is a young tree and then we know that it's going to still grow and that the roots are going to spread, that's another story. But at this point, if it's a mature tree and you don't have any roots there, then you're good to go.
Oh, no, the trees are far away.
Okay, then you have no problems. You don't have to worry about that whatsoever.
What kind of gravel do we put? Three quarter clean
gravel because it does better filtering. It's compactation as well. And do insulate the slab because you're going structural to kind of prevent movement. Put some styrofoam boards, rigid styrofoam boards underneath. That will also help in the heaving and the movement of the slab itself.
Okay.
35, like I said to the previous caller, 35 minimum standard for your pour. 35.
35?
Yeah. Because a lot of them use 20, 25, and that's really the basic cement. You want to go, you know, and then I like certain cases to add some fiberglass. I know it's harder to finish, but it makes it stronger. It kind of holds it together a lot better. So that gives mm-hmm. you a bit of rigidity as well, especially in your case where you have a lot of movement.
So the gravel, is it 0 3/4 or just 3/4?
0 3/4, yeah.
0 3/4.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
Good luck, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. 9:53, let's bring in Billy. He's in the Hunsick area. Hi, Billy.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good morning. Oh, we're great. Water boiler, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes, water boiler, about 26 months old. It's a Thermolec B23, 23 kilowatt. It's kind of coming on. We got the heat at 25 on both floors as we're testing it. We hear something going through, but nothing's happening. There's no heat coming. Obviously, it's heated by water, so house built in 65, water boiler is heating. I have a dual zone relay. I see the lights coming on, but there's literally nothing happening.
Okay, it's a water heater, right?
Correct.
Okay, is it oil or electric?
Electric.
Electric. So, and it's 13 years old, you said, right?
It's 2 years old.
Oh my God, 2 years old! Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really young. So it's turning on, you're saying, but you don't hear water circulating?
I hear water circulating.
Okay.
Because I closed one of the valves just to hear, and then when I reopened it, I heard the water go through, and I've bled both floors.
Okay.
And water is in the pipes, but nothing's happening. The thermostat, the little thermostat that's on there that shows temperature gauge, is not moving to say that it's heating. The lights are on. It's a dual zone, so it's a dual. I have a dual zone.
Okay.
And it's two different floors with two different thermostats. But nothing is happening.
And both zones are not working?
No, both zones. I've put the heat up at 25 on each floor, and I touch the heaters, and nothing's happening.
Okay, there's some failure in command somewhere.
Right.
that both are not working. I mean, it's, if I understand, if one's on, could be a thermostat problem, but it's not in your case. I would call back the installers, actually, the same company, to see what's going on. Because honestly, 2 years is not a long time, and I know the guarantee they give is 1 year, but you're way too close. It shouldn't be giving you any problems for, you know, especially that's electric. Right. Oil is a bit more iffy, and, you know, starting it up, and you have to service it, and so on and so forth, but not electric.
Okay, so you're saying, I called them this morning, obviously I'll wait, but you're saying within this period of time, my old one was about 4 years old, the Chromalox worked like a charm, but was older, was needed service, but so in 2 years I should be able to still get some kind of, say, service from them. I mean, it's not normal.
Not legally, because your guarantee is 1 year, but you know what? Good reputable companies might do something because it is a young thing. So it's try to speak to a supervisor, kind of plead your case to them. And, but first and foremost, try to get them in there just to tell you what the problem is, right? Because there are certain components that are, the material itself is guaranteed for 5 years.
Okay.
But not the labor. So technically, once you know what part it is guaranteed, you're only negotiating the labor at that particular point. But for sure, your problem is not a do-it-yourself type of problem, because you have a command somewhere that is failing, and you know you need to kind of trace it.
Understood. May I ask one last question? We used to have an old system that had a Nest thermostat for both floors, and it would say, do you want to turn on the heat upstairs or downstairs? When they installed this one, they put these two new relays in, because it's a dual zone, and they told us, well, you can't have that type of thermostat anymore because there's two different zones, and it won't understand. And we took that thermostat out. Is that something that's new to the industry where you can have these if you have dual zone boilers?
I beg to differ. Maybe this particular Nest was not compatible, but usually all systems that are recent have to be adaptable to a smart thermostat. So a lot of these systems are made for smart homes, by which you can control it over your phone and what have you. So they all have to have that compatibility, and they're open to many platforms. Now, depending on what the smart home system you have, some of them are not compatible. Let's say you have a Google Home template or a Lutron template or system, then some of them are not compatible. You just have to read. But most of them in today's market are made to cater for these systems, okay?
Understood.
So, you know, maybe the technician was not aware of that particular thermostat, or it's an older version, but I'm sure in the newer versions, Nest have came up with something that should be compatible.
Okay, I'll run it by them, because they had told us because it was two different zones, you would need two different thermostats way, and we said that was fine, but then they said stick to the old ones.
Yeah.
They work better. So.
Gotta run, okay. Billy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Big apology for everybody that we could not get to.
Yes. Busy show. Handled expertly, as always, by Walter Assey from Renovco. We'll see you next Saturday.
Absolutely, sir. We'll not miss it for the world.
Thank you so much. All right. Don't go anywhere. Don is standing by with the latest from our CJAD 800 newsroom, and then more phone calls and more expert advice. Lisa Christensen and The Car Show coming up right after this.